unrealized gains, taxing unrealized gains, just doesn't seem fair in any sense of the word.
But
in the very best sense, if you are taxing unrealized gains, all you're doing is pulling forward the taxes that would be paid later when someone actually sells the stock.
I think that this reaction to unrealized gains is a little funny, given that I bet that the majority of people watching right now are already paying a tax on unrealized gains. It's called a property tax. When the value of your home goes up, when the value of your home goes up, you pay higher taxes, even if you don't sell your home.
Your value of your home never moves the way a stock moves, the way something else
moves. That's always the go-to answer.
It's also, property tax is a use tax. You're paying for school, for the schools. You're paying for emergency services. Those are things that make absolute sense.
And all the revenue that comes in from these unrealized gains taxes and the other taxes in the tax in the Harris plan are going to go to what creating what she calls more opportunity. It's to make sure that every newborn born in this country gets $6,000.
Using the services.
Well, look, you're arguing that this is some sort of foreign concept that's completely unknown in the U.S. tax code.
It's probably unconstitutional. It's probably, and it was never in anyone's intent to tax.
It's not an income tax.
And it's never going to happen, probably. I'm not going to say my life.
I wouldn't say that.
Not in Becky's life.
I like this guy on the right. I don't remember who he is. I don't remember what his name. Yeah, what is it?
Joe.
I don't know who the hell he is. I don't watch CNBC. But the more clips that I see of this guy, the more I like him. Because I feel like he just set down his pint and was like, look, you're stupid. And that's just, he just goes into it from there. Golly. Welcome to the program. Stana Lash here with you. We're at the top of this first hour. And of course, you know, now that I was talking a little bit about this on Jesse Waters last night, and we're going to touch on some of it today. The Kamala Harris communism, her economic plans, the wealth tax, all of this other stuff. One of the reasons I think that they are not on the website, and I was thinking about this, is because when you put it up on the website, you got to claim it, right? When you put it up on the website, that's your plan, right? That's your plan. That's your thing. And you can't run away from it because it's on your website and you own it now. And it's a big deal. So I think the reason why they haven't actually put it on the website is because she doesn't want to have to own it in case it blows up in her face like this is. So they do these like trial balloon things where they float out these policies, because the stuff about the border and even some of her other economic policy, not necessarily the unrealized gains, which she's talked about before, but some of these new changes in positions that she has, you know, away from what she's always held, they've been put out there by toadies, by her staffers, etc. And I think that they float these ideas and then kind of see how the public reacts, and then they gauge whether or not that's something that she's going to hit really hard, or if she needs to modify her position on it, et cetera, et cetera. That's really how I think that they've been doing this, and that's the purpose. So welcome to the show. You can also find us, Channel 347 DirecTV, the chat's over at Rumble, also on X2, Substack, Chapter and Verse. The unrealized gains is going to be something that destroys America. It will destroy our economy. And I our founders went to war for less. And if they start doing this, honestly, our founders went to war for less. It's insane. And the property tax, I mean, it's CNBC, they were pushing back against it because they know they're going to get hit with this stuff too. They know exactly they're going to get hit with all of this stuff too. It's a property. Look, I think property taxes are also stupid. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to discuss how you never own your own property. If you want to pay a fee, charge a fee for your water and your police and everything else, that's fine. Do it. Do it like you do the trash service. That's fine. You know, I don't think we should be publicly funding schools. I think we should just tax parents less so parents can choose where the hell they want to send their kids, so they're not looped into sending them wherever they have to live. So I'm even for a change in that structure because it's all a racket. It's all an absolute racket. So the comparison to property taxes is even dumber because at least you get some sort of return on your forced investment, right? Even if you didn't necessarily agree to it. you get some kind of return on your forced investment. But by and large, that's not a sacred cow either. So I love the opportunity to talk about how dumb it is. But it's not even remotely in any way comparable. You're talking about taxing something that you haven't even made yet, money that you don't even have, and that it's assumed value by the government. Who, by the way, as we talked about with Carol Roth, what was it, last week? They don't pay you if you lose on it. So if it depreciates, if it is devalued by, you know, whatever factor, whatever reason, is the government going to write me a check on it? What about that? Because, see, that's a two-way street. The problem is that the government won't stop spending. And sitting here telling everyone, we're going to give you $25,000 for a house. That's going to make it even worse. None of these people can do math because these people on the left have never had to make payroll. They've never started a business. They've never really worked. Think about it. Look at all of these people. They've never worked a day in the private sector. Kamala Harris has always been in public office. Always. Joe Biden has never worked a day in the private sector. Ever. Tim Walz was, what, an assistant coach for a year. And he is living off that for the rest of his life as an optic. These people have no idea. Bernie Sanders never, literally, I'm not exaggerating, he literally never worked in the private sector a day in his life. Ever. These people are trash. They have no idea what you go through. They have no idea what things cost because they live in an alternate reality. I mean, they want to tax the value of your house, basically, when you can't, not basically, before you ain't even sold it. Oh, it appreciated. We're going to tax you on this. We're going to tax you on all the gains, all of the unreal. I mean, that's the dumbest phrase ever. I don't know if there's a dumber phrase from other, you know, with unrealized gains, maybe assault weapons. Butt hat? I don't know. I mean, you know, it's a hat for your butt. I don't know. I mean,
you know, homeowners also know this, that they won't even lower your home property taxes when your value of your home might go down until you actually protest it.
I will fight every little thing to the nth degree.
Government is a vacuum of money.
I will tell you this, local bureaucrats, if me or my husband roll up, they know that they're in for a bad time. I will literally fight you on every damn thing. If you raise something on me, even a half a cent, I am in your face. I don't give a rat's ass. I will roll up. And my husband's always like, you're on the radio. When you do TV, you can't do it. I'm like, I don't care. I'm an American citizen. I don't have enough middle fingers for this tyranny. And then I just blow in there. We always do this thing where my husband's like, okay, we got to be good cop, bad cop. Let me be the bad cop. And I'm like, okay, all right. And then we roll in and I'm like, no, and I'm bad cop immediately. So he's like, gosh, dang it, Dana, stop it. That's where we're at. Our kid's going to attest to this. It's hysterical. But I fight everything. And I totally agree with you. You still have to pay it. You still have to pay it. They were trying to do that with our property tax. And I'm like, listen here, kittens, this ain't how. And they're like, well, we have comps. And I'm like, oh, you have comps? Would you like to see all mine? And then they die because they don't live long enough to read everything I brought them. So, I mean, the government could increase think about your savings account, anything that you own without selling any of it, they can increase the cost of it and then tax you on it. Yep. Now, think about how that works for a moment, please. The government in charge, essentially, of all monetary policy, right? They are in charge of determining the worth of things. You say, well, Dana, it's the market, but they manipulate the market. So they can just arbitrarily jack something up and then go, oh, well, you owe us taxes on this. Your unrealized gains. We've determined that the property that you own is way more valuable. So we're going to tax you on this unrealized gain. You didn't sell it. Your car is an unrealized gain. It appreciated in value. We're going to tax you on everything. This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. They want your money because they can't stop spending it. They're spending it like a drunk dude at a strip club. I don't know. I can't talk about it without getting really upset. Like comically mad. I can't. I'm turning into my mother's daughter. This is so crazy. Like, you talk to her about Social Security. You can't, actually. You can't talk to her about Social Security. She, like, turns into a demon and, like, fire shoots out of her ears and she just, you know, her eyes turn red and she talks about how it's her money, which it is. No one's contesting it, but you just can't even bring it up. You mention it and you are an enemy. It doesn't matter. Everyone in the vicinity is an enemy. It's a thing. And don't text me either. She's retired now. So she listens, she'll text me. Like, she told me I was a smartass the other day when I mentioned her. She texted me. I was on air and she says this. It's like, mother. But I'm, this is how I'm becoming with this. It's insane how much everybody's paying in tax. How much are we paying in tax? It's crazy. And now they want more of it. This is going to utterly destroy the economy. We're going to talk more about this because I can't talk enough about it. Also, the some people are saying, is Kamala Harris's brat summer finally over? Can we stop with that? But, so brat summer, and I'm in, and now it's being used in the context of political discourse. As I understand it, if you're a bitch and you wear neon, that means you're brat. Is that correct, Steve?
Doesn't sound right.
Oh, well, for the love. Well, that's what I read. It's all these annoying chicks and they're all in neon colors. And they're like, this is the brat wardrobe. And I'm like, okay, like brat style wardrobe? I don't know. But they're saying it's Kamala Harris's brat summer finally over. Because newspapers are questioning her on this. People are starting to question her. Now, a couple of other things. We got the Jack Smith indictment. One of the reasons I don't get into the weeds in this is because other people do, and I would rather, I think, dangle my feet in a wood chipper than to spend an inordinate amount of time on it. Because if I talk about it in a serious fashion, then I feel like I'm giving it gravitas. I feel like I am treating it as though I think it's a serious maneuver, and I think it's all a clown show of epic proportions. I have zero faith in the quote-unquote system. I don't have any faith in government because I'm an American and that's part of my DNA. In fact, if you put, you take, you know, draw some blood on us and you look at our blood under a microscope and you go all the way into our DNA, you look at it and it is basically somebody with a bandana Rambo style tied around their forehead and they're holding up a one-finger salute to overreaching government. That's what it, that's what the American DNA looks like. And when you become an American citizen, your DNA is transfixed and it turns into that. That is a scientific reality. And so I just don't, I don't trust any of this. And so in a 36-page indictment by this guy who looks lonely, that's just, I mean, we'll talk a little bit about it, but I mean, it's just all, it's all, you knew this was coming. This isn't a surprise. You knew that they were going to keep doing this. What they're doing is they're the same charges. It's just he's now trying to do it in the context of the new SCOTUS ruling on presidential immunity. So they just adjusted it to fit that. So we'll touch on that here coming up. Also, later on, we're going to get into some polling. And Goshen. Oh, so this is a fascinating, I've been watching this. J.D. Vance was in Michigan yesterday. He was hitting out at Goshen. Goshen is the big Chinese EV battery maker, and they're wanting to move into Michigan. And of course, Big Gretch is up there like, yeah, I love me some CCP. And so now you've got Democrats who they're in a really weird position. Like, do we want to bring the commies into Michigan? I mean, more commies into Michigan? Or do we, you know, want to try to, how do we want to do this? So we're going to discuss some of this. We're going to get into some of the immigration, the election, culture, all kinds of stuff. So you don't want to miss it. People who help bring you free radio over at Hillsdale. This is Hillsdale exists to provide the type of education needed to prevent a Kamala Harris. There's just no other way of putting it. It's a small Christian classical liberal arts college in southern Michigan, all about the pursuit of truth, defense of liberty. And they were founded to offer this education, type of education needed to help fight for and preserve this republic. Now, you can visit Dana4FORHillsdale.com and choose from all of their educational podcasts. This is one of the things that they offer for free to you. They have all kinds of videos, lectures, all kinds of stuff. Their free speech digest called Imprimis. You don't have to be on their campus in southern Michigan to take advantage of all of this. I mean, you can just go to Dana4FORHillsdale.com and really have an opportunity to learn for free from Hillsdale. It's lots of informative topics. I mean, they have their visiting lecturers, they have authors, but these are all educational podcasts and you can pick from it on the Hillsdale College Podcast Network, accessible only at Dana4FORHillsdale.com. So choose your new favorite educational podcast today on the Hillsdale College Podcast Network at Dana4Hillsdale.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Okay, first up, we've got, more kitchen spices being recalled because lead's in it. Now, I was looking at this because I'm very particular about my spices, as y'all know. So I was looking at it, They said there's six other, it's like ground cinnamon. That is the thing with cinnamon. You got to be real careful about the cinnamon you get. I could do a whole show on it, but I'm not going to. They have this, there's like the El Servidor Corp cinnamon. That was mainly sold in New York. Maybe Ixnay that one. That one, they found some lead in it, and it's a Gutierrez distributor. They've reported no illnesses. They're just like, hey, what's up? So make sure you're checking your spices. Be real careful about the cinnamon you get. There's like a certain kind that actually is, yeah, Kane's like, I feel so validated. I got like Mr. Kombucha over there going, there is.
Yeah, Ceylon is better than Cassia. Just that's basically how it goes.
Yes, that is true. A ransomware gang threatens to release data on U.S. Marshals. I just think it's funny that there's a ransomware gang. Like, anybody can be a gang right now, right? Like, you can have a cartel that's a gang. You know, you can have your basic, you know, drug and guns gang in Chicago. Now you got the ransomware gang. You know, you're probably going to have, like, your panty gang. It's just everybody's a gang. They're threatening to release top secret documents from U.S. Marshals. They've said they've got all kinds of stuff. I just think that's going to make it a lot more fun for U.S. Marshals. I don't know. I've watched too much Justified. I just feel like it's going to make it a lot more fun for them. Matching set of dinosaur footprints was found on the opposite sides of the Atlantic Ocean. Can you believe a dinosaur was so big to straddle the Atlantic Ocean like that? So crazy. Wow. Matching set of footprints discovered in Africa and South America. They revealed that there was a giant dinosaur that once had its foot on either side. No, they think that there was Pangaea. That's what it goes back to, Pangaea. Also, deadly mosquito virus puts Massachusetts towns on high alert. Why do we have those? Like, out of all the things that they look to eradicate, you know, like, you know, family wealth, freedom, go after mosquitoes, right? Just start there. I'll make fun of Peloton in the next segment. We got more coming up. Stick with us. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that what I can while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it is hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
Would Kamala's proposed raise in corporate tax affect you, the consumer? Kamala's proposing raising corporate tax rates from 21 to 28%. Corporations are the ones selling stuff and providing services. By raising taxes, they raise the prices on things that they sell to you. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, we stand very close, of course, to the new Goshen factory, right? That's right. And remember the tie-breaking vote that she cast to send inflation through the roof. Remember that vote? That vote also made Chinese companies like Goshen eligible for millions of your taxpayer dollars.
Hashtag facts. That is true. So Goshen, this is now going to be a big thing. And it's because it's not as in play as much as Pennsylvania is, or even maybe perhaps as much as Georgia is, but it's still very important. It's that part of that blue wall. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Bottom of this first hour. So Goshen is this big CCP company. They always say, well, it's Chinese Communist Link. Look, I'm going to say it once and for all. You cannot be a business out of China and not be a CCP member in good standing. Not only do you have to be a member of the CCP in good standing, but the CCP also puts members of its own party on your company's board. That's to ensure compliance. So, you know, the beating ceases when behavior improves. So the CCP link, no, they're communist, straight up. And so this partnership with Goshen, you know, this is something that's been really championed by Big Gretch, the governor over there. They had a, and this was back in last year. It's a $2.4 billion project, and it's slated for Mecosta County's Big Rapids. They say they're going to create over 2,300 jobs, and they want to produce components that go into making the electric vehicle batteries, right? But understandably, there is a lot of concern about the connections Goshen has to the CCP. There are legitimate NATSEC issues. And they underwent this voluntary review that was carried out by the Department of Treasury, their Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States. And, you know, our government has never erred. And our government is run by entirely pure people, right? We all know this, you know, especially under this administration. So those people determine that that's it's fine. They don't need to undergo anything else. So they approved all of this. There was a lot of public outcry during the hearing, though. And people were very upset. They didn't want this Chinese-based company developing this massive factory in Michigan. And a lot of people were like, why? You know, you have American companies that are willing to do this, that want to undertake this project. Why are you allowing a Chinese company to come in here and do this? And a lot of people in Michigan felt that it was rushed, that the process to consider them and move on to the next step was rushed. And they there were a lot of people, it seems like more people than not were angry that this was being pushed through so rapidly. And they think that, you know, this could also be, you know, here's CCP coming in and trying to get tentacles in. I mean, it's 700 acres of land in Michigan that the CCP would own. It would be a CCP business, the employees, and you could say it creates 2,300 American jobs, but these are people who are working for the CCP. So you're making communist chills out of regular American people who just simply want to have a job, when you could have an American company come in and do the exact same thing. But for some reason, it's the CCP adjacent or owned company that's you know, getting apparently all of the consideration. And the company itself, and this is something that all companies do in China, they have to. So not only do they have to be a CCP member in good standing, and not only does a member of the CCP place someone on their board, but they also have to have like a commitment, be very public about their commitment and their unwavering loyalty to the CCP. So, yeah, there's a lot of concerns there. And it was the Midwesterner. The Midwesterner.news that had this story where it says that Goshen's bylaws say that it will set up a party organization and carry out party activities in accordance with the constitution of the Communist Party of China. That's a little bit of a problem. And because, you know, the company, which is CCP, will guarantee and oversee the implementation of the party's guidelines, principles, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you have a huge company in Michigan that's going to be basically a satellite for the CCP. And of course, Michigan Democrats are very excited about it. Big Gretch is very excited about it. But there are some, and this is what Vance was hitting out at, by the way. So this was a headline over at the New York Times. The reason I'm bringing all of this up is because the media wants to use this as a wedge without reporting on everything. So the headline over at the New York Times is, quote, "To lure Michigan voters, Trump campaign stokes China fears." I don't know how you can stoke fears about communists. I mean, it's a communism. And they noted J.D. Vance was in Michigan, and they said he waded into a fight over plans by Goshen to build this company. They said that it's Green Charter Township. It's about 60 miles north of Grand Rapids. It's been a big battleground. And now they're acting like somehow like it's like Trump and Vance are creating the drama. Yeah, it's so stupid. They said, I was reading this piece and it says, because Michigan, it is a state that is in play. I don't think as much as Pennsylvania, but it is. And New York Times notes this. They said Michigan is a pivotal swing state. I don't know if I'd go that far in the November election. It's not guaranteed by Democrats, though. And remember, Trump did win it before. And New York Times Siena poll showed this month showed Harris. She was ahead of Trump by 4 points. This same poll was a margin of error of 3.5. So if she's ahead by 4 percentage points, and if you factor in a 3.5 margin of error, That's like what? She's like half a point ahead. So they're tied virtually at this. They're tied. And what Vance noted was accurate. I mean, her vote, she was the deciding vote, the deciding vote that enabled the Inflation Reduction Act to pass the Senate. The New York Times noted this, too. They said she was the deciding vote. It was Harris, Ms. Harris in 2022 enabled passage of the Inflation Reduction Act. And this is all of these, the subsidies that that bill created for the new green energy. That was what was luring companies like Goshen to come to the United States. And there's not a thing that he said that was incorrect. It would be this CCP company would be getting taxpayer dollars in order to get going on this. I mean, that's it's kind of crazy to think about it, but that's true. There's been a lot of reporting on it. I mean, you're getting taxpayer dollars that are being funneled to a CCP company. The Michigan Senate, they granted legislative approval to provide $175 million in state funds for this factory. That's $175 million taxpayer dollars to go towards Goshen. $175 million taxpayer dollars. Even though people have very legitimate concerns about the CCP alignment here. And when they had a hearing for it, that's when a lot of people were really very, very vocally slamming it. Now, keep in mind, too, and there have been a lot of people that have talked about this, including some congressmen who are from Michigan, who have noted that, and this is also, let me pull this up, this is a Wall Street Journal piece that I have from my bookmarks. Chinese gate crashers at U.S. base spark espionage concerns. I mean, there have been about 100 incidents involving Chinese nationals trying to access American military and other installations. Now, it is completely acceptable to question this and then question Goshen's parent company and question the goals that they have in coming to Michigan and why they're getting hundreds of millions of dollars in taxpayer money to get started. I think it's perfectly acceptable to do this. I mean, Goshen, they sent their employees, and this is from, they sent their employees, this is Daily Caller. So Goshen, they had their employees go on these field trips. They were wearing red army outfits and pledging their lives to the CCP. This is a real... I mean, this was back in August of last year. They were at the U.S.-based Goshen company. So these are people in the U.S. dressing as Red Army soldiers during company field trips. There's photos and video of it. And it's even posted on Goshen's website. Goshen High Tech Power Energy, they ran multiple company field trips. They went to different, some of them went to Communist Revolutionary Memorials in China. And they were wearing Red Army uniforms, swearing to fight for communism to the end of their lives, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Why is Goshen? This subsidiary is a California-based company still owned by the CCP, wholly owned and controlled, by the way, by the CCP. And they are looking, there's a lot of questions about this. Now, I'm bringing all of this up again because the media wants to make it look like Trump is trying to run off jobs in Michigan. Can you believe this? Trump is trying to... That's what the New York Times... I mean, I'm reading this piece and that's what it looks like. I mean, it's making it look like Trump and Vance are trying to cost taxpayers jobs. They're using this as a line of attack in Michigan against Trump and Vance. Harris wants to literally allow the CCP to come in and build this factory. This is like a crappy Belt and Road initiative. And in exchange for what? 2,300 jobs. You have American companies that could do this, but they're not getting the consideration. They're not getting the consideration at all. And by the way, it hasn't been well received in Michigan, that company. Treasury Department, per New York Times, estimates that only 2% of the clean energy investments made in the United States during this previous administration have been made by Chinese companies. Huh. It's all American companies that have made the rest, that have done the rest of it, all of them, and some allies. Hmm. Interesting. Keep this in mind, because this is going to be something that's going to, I think, boil over a little bit. Harris is walking back the EV mandate. She's holding a bit of an edge in Michigan. And other Republicans, like Mike Rogers, was in Michigan, and he was condemning this the creation of this plant. But the way that they're going to try to put it is this is Trump and Vance attacking jobs in Michigan. This is them trying to prevent jobs. This is them hitting out. They're going to try to make it and omit all of the CCP stuff that I have just spent the last, you know, almost this whole segment, because I think this is an important topic, explaining to you. They're omitting all of this. So keep this in mind, and keep in mind, too, the messaging for it, because if Michigan is in play, and is that, how do you message that? That's going to be, I mean, people like the promises of stuff, and when people need, they're in a crunch period, less consideration is going to be given to where the help comes from, only that the help is coming. That's something you got to keep in mind. We got more on the way as we roll towards Days of these United States. And coming up, Jim Jordan's going to be joining us later on in the program. We're going to get into some of the tech stuff that they uncovered, particularly that Zuckerberg admission on being pressured by Biden and Harris to suppress speech. We're going to get into that. And now that school's back in session, get ready for more DEI battles. We have some stories on that front as well. Do you owe back taxes on unfiled returns? That fake pandemic relief is now over. And along with hiring tens of thousands of new agents and field officers, the glorious IRS has kicked off 2024 by sending over 5 million pay-up letters to those people who have unfiled tax returns or balances owed. Don't waive your rights and speak with them on your own, because they're not your friends. Tax Network USA is a trusted tax relief firm, and they've saved over $1 billion in back taxes for their clients, and they can help you secure the best deal possible. Whether you owe $10,000 or $10 million, they can help you. Whether it's business or personal taxes, even if you have the means to pay or you're on a fixed income, they can help. Finally, resolve your tax burdens once and for all. Call them at 1-800-958-1000 for a private free consultation, or visit tnusa.com/Dana. Don't let the IRS control your life. Empower yourself with Tax Network USA support and take charge of your financial future. Visit tnusa.com/Dana. today.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
A just released housing index reveals just how rough the market is, especially for first-time home buyers. It showed home prices for the nation's top 20 metro areas rose 5.4% from June of last year to June of this year, a record jump for that month. And renters, not just home buyers, are feeling a serious squeeze, especially in New York. Moody's found New Yorkers dedicated a whopping 58% of their income toward rent, compared to 27% nationwide.
I mean, you have these headlines, which we're going to talk about coming up, from people saying, I just, you know, it's younger generations. They're questioning whether or not, you know, they can ever achieve the American dream, whether or not they can ever afford the American dream. And it's really sad. It's super sad when you think about it. But that's, I mean, story after story. I keep seeing this. And then you look at what this economy has done, and look how expensive everything is. Housing prices. I mean, what the hell do you think giving everybody $25,000 for a house is going to do to housing prices? Let's do the math. If it's jumping up, you had a 5.4% record jump. It's a rough market already. Factor in $25,000 for people buying a house, especially if people who enter the country illegally. And you're giving away taxpayer dollars. And you want to tax unrealized gains. That's going to affect everybody, by the way. That's not just for rich people. That's for you. That's for middle class, all of us. It's for, like, you know, people who are at either end of the spectrum on the economic scale. Everybody is going to get hit by it, because it's not just stock and, you know, stock market and investments and things like that. It's everything you own. Your property, your vehicle, everything. If you have something that you could make money off of, but you haven't made money off of it yet, that's an unrealized gain. That's up for grabs. But, you know, if you take a loss, the government's not going to give you any money for it. What is that going to do to all of this? What is that going to do to housing, the housing market? What's it going to do to investment? You know, we need in this country, we desperately need several things. We need more refineries, and we need to be able to make chips and be able to produce a lot of this stuff, whether it's antibiotics ourselves, whether it's manufacturing these chips, whatever it is. And when you kill investment, where do you think the capital is going to come to create and establish these manufacturing bases in the United States? It doesn't just come out of the ether, right? Rich people don't just like pull it out of their backsides. You know, this is business. How do you think that that's going to happen? This is going to destroy absolutely everything. There is no way in hell that a low-tier, last-place candidate from 2020 that Democrat voters would have rejected had she actually been on the ballot primary and caucuses across the country is now the nominee, and they're going to fast-track her into making all of these decisions that are going to ruin your lives. They will ruin your lives. You're going to see suicide rates go up. People are going to be broke and desperate. That's what's on the ballot in November. We got a lot more on the way. Stick with us. Second hour next. As we move, our partners that help bring you free radio, the folks at Kel-Tec, the P15. If you don't have it, you should have it. There's two versions. There's the metal version and the polymer version. It is the lightest, thinnest, double stack 9mm on the market. It's ideal for, doesn't matter if you're a seasoned pro, if you're a newbie, it's sleek, compact, 15 round capacity, lightweight and powerful. It comes with two mags, by the way, standard 15 rounds, minimal pinky extension. You also have a flush fit double stack mag that holds 12 rounds, tritium and fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic 2-dot rear as well. Lifetime warranty, compact from the inventors of the micro compact pistol category. Just innovation performance with the P15. And super concealable. You have to check it out. Quality made right here in the U.S. of A. Innovation, performance, and Kel-Tec. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com. It's the P15. Tell them Dana sent you. Welcome to the show, everyone. It is I, your lovable curmudgeon, Dana Lash. And don't forget, you can watch us on X, Rumbles, where the chat is. Channel 3047 DirecTV, also at Substack, Chapter and Verse. If you turn away a migrant, it is a grave sin, saith the Popeth. That is new. It is new. It's all over everywhere. It was, he said, working to turn migrants away from peace and security in a new country is a grave sin, he said. Okay. That's the sin. So countries with laws have sins. I mean, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. But that might be a sin. I mean, it's only in the Bible and all. Yes, he says if you are rejecting migrants and you're blocking their routes, it is a grave sin. This was part of his address, his weekly address on Wednesday. And I think he was in the Vatican when he said this. So are we sending them all to the Vatican now? Is that what it is? I mean, let's just put it to the test, right?
Yeah.
He said, quote, working to turn migrants away from the prospect of peace and security in a new country is a grave sin. It needs to be said clearly. There are those who systematically work by all means to drive away migrants. And this, when done knowingly and deliberately, is a grave sin. He was in St. Peter Square, which you got to go through a lot of security to get into, by the way. I mean, you have to go through a ton of security to get into the Vatican and to go see all the beautiful artwork that's in there. You know, they lopped off all the statues' male copulatory organs because it was considered. So they got a room full of like statue dong somewhere, I would imagine. I'm just saying. What? I'm talking about art, Kane.
Killing me.
I just don't know why. The expectation of following law when entering a sovereign nation is a sin. This is what I'm talking about. This is what is angering me to the nth degree. And I keep seeing it popping up in churches, and this Pope is no exception. This is wrong, by the way. Follow the law. If you're not following the law, is that not a sin? Is that not also a sin if you're not following the law? If you are breaking into someone's home, is that not a sin if you're breaking into another country? Is that not a sin?
Sounds like it.
the way that these people present it, and I feel like some, and especially there are a lot of church leaders out there, and I haven't turned away from my faith at all, and I'm not going to stop going to church, but we're in the process of determining whether or not we're staying at our church or we're leaving. We didn't go last Sunday. We didn't attend it because I didn't really appreciate, you know, a church leader telling people that they wanted a safe and fair border. And I don't even know what that means. What do you mean a fair border? Why don't you just say something smart like let's have lawful orderly crossings. Let's just do that. And you know, when I look at what this Pope is saying, it's not unlike what, you know, my pastor was saying a couple of weeks ago. And my pastor didn't go so far as to say it was a sin, but he walked right up to the line. He was right there, toes to the line. If you turn away people who are coming at the border, it's a sin. Well, I've been to the border. I've been to the border several times. I've been down there to the processing centers. I've toured them. I have been down there at the Bank of the Rio looking at the shell casings from when cartels were firing 50 cals at our border agents. I went and I saw the photos of children who had been dumped on the banks of the Rio and rescued by Border Patrol because the loopholes, the Flores Agreement Amendment, all of that exploited by the cartels to fast track people who are able to get a part of that rent-a-kit operation. I've seen all of the stuff, all of the horrors that this creates. All of the rumors that you've heard about the border are true. It's horrifying. And the innocent people who live in these border communities that are predominantly Hispanic, they're preyed upon. So I've just noticed that these religious leaders, all the people who say this, they're all white religious leaders. And I kind of question what they did in their youth. I called up one very well-known. I don't want to put him on blast, although I think I have written about it. I did write about it in my book, Grace Canceled. But I called up one very well-known religious leader who had, during lockdown, conducted a Sunday service in their parking lot when they couldn't go indoors, and they did the whole bend the knee thing. And I called him, and I said, I'm curious as to your angle here. And he was clearly taken aback, and he was like, well, I don't understand what you mean. And he was very nice. And I feel in some respects like he felt like he was doing it out of the goodness of his heart in a way. And he was saying, well, you know, when I grew up in East Texas, I saw a lot of very different things. And he's old enough to be my father. And I said, look, I go, you need to understand something. When my generation was growing up, and very specifically me, I didn't have this racial animosity that you all talk about. I didn't see it. It was not a part of our lives. And it wasn't because we didn't see it or didn't know what it was. Everybody was friends. We were all friends. Black and white and Asian. Everybody went to everybody's houses until the Marxists realized that maybe, just maybe, they would have a better advantage using things like culture and different sexual orientations as the wedge, more so than socioeconomic statuses. And that's what they pivoted to. And then all of a sudden, there was all of this animosity where there had not been animosity before. There were hard feelings and lines drawn, and it had not been like that when we grew up. And I was telling this very famous pastor, I said, why are you trying to yoke younger generations to your moral failings? Your generations, or your specifically moral failings. If you've done something in your life, why should I or anyone else have to be yoked to it? I go, as a shepherd, you're building resentment in the hearts of your flock. Do you not see this? And you're creating a hurdle to worship. It really made me angry. And as a mother, it enraged me. To have my kids sit there during Sunday service and be told that if they didn't want a free-for-all at the border, then they were somehow sinful, intimating that they were sinful. Aren't you bearing false witness upon their characters? preachers. If you don't want to turn people away from organized religion, then stop doing the devil's work. It's sad and it's infuriating. I know our churches are under attack. And I know that pastors are fallible people. I know this. But you work against the devil, not with him, when you're talking about these things from the pulpit. And if you don't know it enough, then don't bring it up at the pulpit. I've literally sat there in church service before, and I heard my pastor talk about how more black people are shot by cops every year than white people. I'm like, that's actually a lie. I can tell where you go and you get your information for your sermons without even you telling me. I know where you go. I wrote an email and I had receipts from the DOJ, from the FBI, local law enforcement from around the country. You can even divide it up in regions. It's just absolutely factually incorrect, which, by the way, was my only beef with everybody taking a knee with the NFL. I don't mind peaceful protest. My problem was they were doing it based on a lie. That was all my only objection. And when I heard my pastor, and I know it's a lie because I've looked at the numbers. They're available on this thing called the internet that the good Lord gave us to use as a tool. I mean, enough people use the internet to go and lecture about what they think the facts are, but not enough of them actually use it to go and look at what the facts are. I sent all this stuff in an email, and that's when I got like one little response back, like, oh, well, thank you, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, okay, I'm going to have grace. And I'm having grace by not name checking. And I have said things privately, and we have made overtures, and we have reached out and done all of this stuff. And I'm just, it's, you know, and to see the Pope say this, I'm not a fan of the Pope because I think he's a socialist. And I think socialism is antithetical to Christianity. Because socialism denies you free will. Why do tyrants think that they're holier than God? God gives you free will. Socialists don't. And to see someone say, oh, well, you know, if you're turning away people at the border, that's a grave sin. To expect security and lawful entry, it's a grave sin. Okay, well then stop turning people away from the Vatican if they don't have proper ID. Stop turning people away from the Vatican if they don't want to have their bags checked. Stop turning people away from the Vatican if their shoulders aren't covered or their knees aren't covered. How about that? Stop turning away people at the Vatican. That's a sin. I mean, we can do this all day. Someone else's political issue, they think someone has a political issue and they think they mistake that as somebody else's sin if they don't agree with them. That's where we're going to. I want you to realize that. They're trying to emotionally blackmail Christians by thinking that if you disagree with them, you are committing a grave sin. If you are not in lockstep with Marxist ideology, then you are creating a great sin. If you do not believe in lawlessness and disorder, then you are creating a great sin. There have been a lot of people all throughout the centuries who wear the robes, and they carry the cross, and they sell the books on the good book, and they stand up at the pulpit, and they say a lot of great things in the name of the Lord, but I'm going to tell you what, even the devil can cite scripture. Ye workers of iniquity, I never knew thee. So I'm getting real tired of this stuff. Getting really tired of it. And it's not one denomination or another. It's all of them. It is poor representation. Shepherds, do your jobs. You have a higher penalty according to the New Testament. Don't mislead. Don't misrepresent. I get it why some people in church are so terrified to talk about politics. You shouldn't be. If you are doing your best to speak fact and truth. I've always said, show me the fact, and if I am incorrect, I will modify my position. I'm not a zealot for lies. But I'm telling you, it is, this is what's tearing down the church. Stuff like this. And Here's the thing. There are people who are not even political who don't want to see pastors talk about this stuff because it gets to say, oh, I want a safe and fair border. What does it even mean? How about I want lawfulness and order? Because that does provide safety, and it creates safety for everybody involved. And that is what is truly fair. There's nothing wrong in saying that. I'm still not even done with this issue, but that's what was said in St. Peter's Square today. And probably in some of your churches this Sunday. And again, it's not one denomination or another. I know our church is under attack, but the shepherds have to, they have to be able to hear. We got a lot more on the way as we roll into headlines. And as we do so, our partners that help bring you free radio, the people over at ReadyWise, because when sweet meteor of death hits this planet, if for some strange mathematical twist it doesn't obliterate it, and we are still stuck on half of a crumpled rock, you're going to need to have your survival meals ready. Or, I don't know, maybe you have like rolling brownouts or blackouts or whatever. Maybe it's, you know, it's a natural disaster if it's not a political one. Having emergency food from ReadyWise gives you peace of mind. You're going to be able to feed your family no matter the situation. It's free and fast shipping on most orders. Your provisions are going to reach you promptly. They have two offers for you. One is the 72-hour food kit, $100 value for $50. Two boxes, 12 pouches of premium survival food. You got all your three hots and drinks and snacks. It's over 11,000 calories in each kit. Additionally, you can also use promo code DANA20 at checkout, and you're going to get 20% off any regularly priced item. All the food is made with high-quality U.S. ingredients, so you know exactly what you're getting at any given time. It's all freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life. You know the chain of command for your food from start to finish. Visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code DANA20 at checkout for 20% off any regularly priced item. ReadyWise.com, promo code DANA20, 20% off. Order yours today.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So an entire town was put under nighttime lockdown as a disabling horse virus that kills 1 in 3 has run rampant. This is one of the craziest stories that I've ever read. It's like it's actually half a dozen communities that have been designated as higher critical risk for this illness. There was a guy who tested positive for it earlier this month. And it's Eastern Equine Encephalitis. It is rare, but a potentially deadly virus that was first identified in horses. And so it's called EEE or triple E. It can be spread to people by mosquitoes. Again, why do we have them? It can be spread to people by mosquitoes. The CDC says about 30% of those who are infected, it is a fatality. But they said 10 counties in Massachusetts were placed on high alert. And there was a guy in his 80s. It sounds like, you know, if you're older or if you, again, you got immunity issues. But it's in Massachusetts. That's where they were looking at it at this point. Ooh. New York City is spraying pesticides to help prevent the spread of mosquitoes and potential diseases. I'm totally fine with pesticides, Kane. Yeah. Love
they
pesticides.
They just need to stop throwing mosquitoes on top of us. That's what they need to stop doing.
I mean, why do we have them? All of the things that science looks at. Like, I don't need to study why. I don't need to study lesbian obesities or what happens if you give squirrels crack. I don't need that. What I need is, why do we have mosquitoes? Kill them all. Yeah. They don't. Can anybody prove to me why they are required? No, you can't. So New York City is increasing pesticides. Increased sausage demand could be a worrying signal in the economy. Kane thinks that they're pushing this sausage story because they can grind anything into it and say that it's meat and convincing us that there's a demand for it. And that's Kane's tinfoil hat moment. Stick with us. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that, what I can, while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible audible force, sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Support our young ladies and not allow any boys in their locker rooms or on their sports team.
Okay, so we have a motion on the floor, as Trustee Green has stated. Do we have a second? And do you want, just to clarify again, for, I know for Ms. Pierce, wanted to make sure the motion?
That we support our young ladies and not allow boys, that's young men that have that have DNA, that is boy DNA, not be allowed in the locker rooms or on the sports team competing against young ladies.
And so that's the motion. And do we have a second for that motion? So there's no second, we'll go ahead and... All right, we're moving on to our last speaker.
So that's McKinney ISD. That's McKinney School in Texas, where they had the school board. They introduced a motion that was not seconded to keep boys from going into girls' sports and keep them from going into girls' locker rooms. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. I'm telling you, you need to take your kids out of McKinney ISD if they are in it, because to have something like that happen and the silence. I mean, did you hear? Seconded. Nobody even wanted to second it. Why is that such a big issue? And when you consider too, some of these boys in high school, they might be 18, where they'll have a 14-year-old girl there. I mean, let's talk about some of the statutory implications of that. I mean, there's no interest in protecting our kids. There's none. I'm looking for pulling this up. This is this school sent a letter to the parents in response of the school board meeting, right? Via Sarah Fields, they write, McKinney ISD parents and guardians, they said they were talking about this school board meeting, which was just 2 days ago. They said Trustee Chad Green proposed a motion to support our young ladies and not allow boys who have boy DNA not be allowed in locker rooms or on the sports teams competing against young ladies. They said it didn't receive a second because, you know, the guidelines and, you know, McKinney ISD female students are already protected. To take further action would have violated the law. Passing a frivolous and meaningless motion was unnecessary because protections are already in place. Not really. And first off, the concern that they put up is not necessarily true. That's what they've all been saying as a way to sidestep the issue, silence parents, etc. And there's the block that's on when they talk about the protections that the Title IX stuff, the block on those changes that Biden made is a temporary one. So when they cite protections, it is a temporary protection. This is still ongoing. So it's not meaningless to say that. Schools can and need to have their own protections in place, because what happens if, you know, Biden's, what happens if this is allowed to go through? You know, I mean, what is it? If it's allowed to go through, if what Biden had pushed for in, remember, he wanted to go after any kind of federal funding for any kind of educational institution that did not allow for boys to go on girls teams and be in the locker rooms and all that stuff. And Texas was litigating this, et cetera. And by the way, these are multiple schools that are allowing this. I mean, this school is not the only one. There are several that are like this. And they said that you know, the law as it is, you know, they can't, you can't force a school to adopt such a thing, but the schools can choose to do so unless, because unless the parents oppose it. The federal government under this administration has been trying to coerce schools into doing this by dangling as the carrot federal funding. So when they, the title that Biden had instituted for this, that was temporarily blocked, and again, that's a temporary block, this can still happen. This isn't a done deal. And so the letter that the school sent out is not entirely honest, as you would imagine, right? And that's in McKinney. Can you know where McKinney is? It's in Texas.
It's right near here, actually.
McKinney. It's time to pull your kids out of this. It is. It's time. It's time to pull your kids out of this stuff, out of these schools if they're doing this. It is. That our tax dollars forcibly go to the stuff that facilitate predatory behavior against women and girls is just wild. There are a couple of parents that told me that they had just moved out of that area, and they can say that, you know, they've noticed like a lot of people who have fled California, and they are bringing a lot of that momentum with them there. But man, and that's, it's like that. What is it? The McKinney, Prosper, Frisco area. And I don't think it was. Someone asked if it was grandstanding to get a viral video. I really don't think it was. Again, it's a temporary block, i.e. it is a temporary protection. So unless schools do something individually to protect students, if that is allowed to stand, then there isn't going to be any protections for these students. Now that kids are going back to school, all of this stuff now is coming back up to light. It's all like the protests and everything else. And because it's an election cycle, I don't think it's a fun time to be a student on campus. Do you, Kane? I really don't think it is.
No, not a sane one.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just not fun. It's not fun to be a kid like this on campus, I don't think. I feel bad for a lot of students. Like, for instance, this Colorado school district, this is from Daily Caller. Now everybody's going back to school. They're not going to allow students to opt out of alphabet lessons, LGBTQ+, regardless of parents' wishes. A Colorado school district is implementing the alphabet toolkit, and it's forcing students to attend lessons on related topics, even if the parents disapprove. It was created by the Denver School District, updated in July. It prohibits students from opting out of these lessons and curriculum. Doesn't matter if you have different beliefs, you're going to be forced into it. And it's about sex. It's lessons on sex. It's about how same-sex people have it. That's what they're talking about. They're forcing your kids to sit through pornography. And I don't get it. Why are they so obsessed with this? This isn't educational.
No.
Not educational at all. They're like, oh, we'll make sure it's age appropriate. Really? You're the people who put gender queer in elementary school libraries. People don't believe me when I say this. They honestly, like actual, like moderate Republicans didn't even believe it. It started in Texas when a parent first discovered that book. That's crazy. A 12-year-old's or 13-year-old's library. And elementary can access it. And it literally was a graphic novel that showed, well, I can't even say on air what it showed because I would probably get in trouble, Kane, right?
That's true.
We can't even show the images because if I showed these images on Facebook, actually, when we've tried, they demonetize my videos and they issue a strike against my account. I can't even show it on Facebook, but they can show your underage kids in school. And they consider that to be educational. And it is nothing more than gratuitous graphic sex. That's all it is. There's no literary value to it. There's nothing. I mean, honestly, I think that probably Playboy had better articles. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's no value to it at all whatsoever. This is just, you're forcing this in kids' faces so that they're just shell-shocked by it. And you can't, that's all it is. They're forcing them to acclimate to it, regardless of whether or not parents agree. And the Denver School District doesn't require the parental consent either with any of this stuff. They're like, oh, it's our commitment to equity and inclusion. What about, look, I don't want any kind of sexual material like that taught to underage kids in the classroom. Because they're not it's not a biological, they're not approaching it from a biological standpoint, like this is where how children are created, or this is how, which that at least serves a purpose. They're like, this is how this stuff happens. This is how, you know, men's bodies work and how women's bodies work. No, they disregard science, and it's all about fetish. It is nothing more than an educational, or not, it's fetish education. That's all it is. It is. And I kind of wonder if the people pushing this on kids, are you getting off on this? No, that's not too forward to ask when you're talking about introducing books that show pegging in the classroom. Don't Google that. No. People did not believe how bad the photos were or how bad the illustrations were. And that's just one book. There are others. And then there's, you know, like the written word that get really graphic with stuff. And that, again, that has nothing to do with education. Why is this like the hill that these people want to fight on? I mean, I've got suspicions, but good night. But now that everybody's going back to school, this is all up again. UPenn is hosting gender equity orientation for freshmen. Can you say freshmen? Can you say freshmen anymore?
Fresh person.
Fresh persons. From Campus Reform. This piece is orientation focusing on providing a safe space for first-year students of marginalized genders, you mean make-believe, and their allies to share their experiences and continue to grow. So it's gender equity. It's a freshman pre-orientation program. I don't see how this is about, this isn't about creating safe spaces. This is, again, about shoving it in your face. It's bringing fetish out. That's all it is. Historically marginalized genders. Here's the thing with all of this, the language and the approach to this. No one cared until you tried to penalize people for pronoun usage. No one cared until you started demanding that their underage children be exposed to you lecturing them about how you'd like to get off. Nobody cared until you made it an issue. It wasn't about living your life. It was about making them be participants in it. That's when it became an issue. People started marginalizing themselves by acting like a marginalized subset of society that is obsessed with talking to kids about their fetishes. That's when it became an issue. Trying to get people fired because they wanted to say things like women are real, stop acting like we're not real. Trying to get people fired for that is when it became an issue. It wasn't an issue until then. So people who subscribe to this wanted to pick a fight with everyone else. And then when everyone else started objecting, then they wanted to act like they were marginalized. It doesn't go both ways. You're the bullies. You're the jackasses. It's you. It's not us. Patriot Mobile is the only Christian conservative cell phone service. And if you don't care about that because you're broke, like most Americans, they're going to save you more money than what you're saving now. You're going to pay less with Patriot Mobile than with your big commie cell phone service. And that's just because they charge less. I mean, they don't have to charge to pay all of the donations to all of the Marxist stuff that they have. Patriot Mobile, like I said, they've got great plans, great coverage on all three major networks. So you're getting the best service in your area and you're not funding the left. And when you switch, you're helping to support U.S.-based jobs. All of their whole team is 100% U.S.-based. They make it so easy to switch. You can keep your phone, keep your number, upgrade. The choice is yours. And you can also get a free month of service right now using offer code Dana, which also gets you free activation. So why on God's green earth would you work with a Marxist cell phone company that actually works against you, donates to the stuff that you vote against, protects and advocates for the stuff that you fight against? Why would you not switch to Patriot Mobile? My gosh, they love Jesus. They love America. They love guns. And they want to save you money. For crying out loud, just call them already for the love of God. PatriotMobile.com/Dana. 972-PATRIOT. Use code Dana. Free activation, free month of service.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. So first up, just like Kane says, old people aren't innocent.
That's what he says.
An elderly Florida man pulled a knife on a manager at Swank, New Jersey Eatery. Oh, Swank. 75-year-old man from Florida was arrested Thursday night after allegedly pulling a knife on another restaurant patron and assaulting the manager at the Red Horse in Rumson, according to authorities. The resident of Palm Beach Shores, David Gully, faces multiple charges, including aggravated assault, possession of a weapon for an unlawful purpose, terroristic threats, disorderly conduct, simple assault. That's according to the Rumsfeld police lieutenant. It was the Red Horse restaurant, and there's a celebrity chef that owns it, I guess. And the general manager had asked, is there a knife? There's like video of it. There's a lot of fun words in there that that Juan can't hear because he's innocent. And they literally watched the guys. Police showed up. The Gully guy, like, punching the restaurant manager with a knife in his hand. He was taken into custody without further incident. They're still investigating. Do you know why? You know, it's real simple. He had a knife and he hit someone. There you go. Case closed. Wow. We've solved it. A man turns himself in after he... It's an oldie but a goodie. I miss this. A man turns himself in after murdering his imaginary friend. Jeff Gaylord from Florida turned himself into police and demanded they give him the death penalty after he admitted to, I'm not making this up, after he admitted to murdering his imaginary friend, Mr. Happy. He told officers he had stabbed Mr. Happy to death with a knife, cut up Mr. Happy's body with a hatchet, and buried him in the backyard. Jacksonville officers took a drunk Gaylord into custody and got a search warrant for his house. Gaylord said that he had killed Mr. Happy because he was messy. And then he told officers... Ossifers. His room was a mess all the time with his toys and his dolls. And then he left his empty vodka bottles all over the kitchen. And he never picked up his empty cocaine baggies. And it was Mr. Happy who left the toilet seat down when he peed. He messed up my apartment to the point where I just couldn't get it clean. You know what it kind of sounds like? It sounds like he was going to get busted for drugs anyway and decided to make up a story. I'm beginning to think that it wasn't Mr. Happy's cocaine and empty vodka bottles, but in fact, Mr. Gaylord's cocaine baggies and empty vodka bottles. Oh, they also found a machine gun at his house.
That's Mr. Happy.
No, I think that one was his. He's like, yeah, it's probably mine because, you know, I'm... Oh, boy. That's probably one of my favorite ones. This woman looks crazy. Is she in a vest? Oh, she is. Okay, so it's never anybody that you would want to see. 56-year-old Grace Sharp got arrested for walking around outside naked during her neighbor's birthday party, according to an arrest report. The incident happened Sunday along Fowler Avenue in Pensacola as her neighbor was having a birthday party, according to the report. The report stated that the neighbor told deputies around 7 p.m. Ms. Sharp, pictured in the simulcast, walked up naked to the chain link fence that separates the properties, and she was reportedly waving around plastic doll legs. And then she rubbed the plastic doll legs on her private lady area. And then the neighbor made the kids go inside. According to the report, when the neighbor told Sharp that she was naked, Sharp said, I know it's hot outside, quote, end quote. She eventually went back inside her home when deputies were called. Sharp remains in Escambia County Jail on $2,500 bond. Any questions about that one? I do have one.
She knows who Nelly is?
The plastic doll legs, like Barbie sized? What is that? Like, where does one, I mean, what size? I got to know.
Great question.
Stay tuned. We got Jim Jordan coming up next hour.
I'm just trying to understand where we are right now, because yesterday the Trump campaign very clearly put out a statement, said they agreed to the same rules as took place in the June debate between President Biden and Donald Trump, where there were muted microphones. Have you not agreed to muted microphones?
I think we've made pretty clear our preference. Along with Donald Trump himself, is for unmuted microphones. I think the question that you'd have to ask is to Donald Trump and his team, are they in agreement between themselves on how we should approach this debate?
That was one of her surrogates, Kamala Harris's surrogates. Welcome to the program. Top of the third hour. We got Congressman Jim Jordan who's going to be down at the bottom of this hour. Dana Lash here with you. Make sure you find us on Rumble. It's where the chat is happening. We also have... Substack. We got all kinds of good stuff happening. Chapter and verse over at Substack. X, Channel 347, DirecTV. We've got the McGroin folks over on Rumble. We've got a lot of stuff happening. I want you to keep the debate stuff in mind. I was thinking how I was going to start this segment. So let me preface it with this. So Kamala Harris, she's finally, you know, they got the debate coming up. They've been going back and forth over muted mics. She also yesterday agreed to do a sit-down interview with Dana Bash over at CNN. She's finally going to do it. Going to sit down interview. She's going to have the interview.
With that hard-hitting journalist?
It's going to be pre-taped, and she's going to have Mike Walls there. Tim Walls, sorry, all the same person. Tim Walls there. You know what it reminded me of? One of the funniest movies I've ever seen. It's a little cinematic masterpiece called Step Brothers. And in Step Brothers, you have 39-year-old Brennan Huff and 49-year-old Dale Doback. So Brennan and Dale, their parents, they're grown men who have never actually aged beyond being teenagers. Their parents get together and they have a blended family, and it's hysterical. And they are told at one point, you guys got to go out and get jobs, because they don't work. They're like in their 30s in the show. They don't work. And they go out and get a job. They try to. They go out and they do job interviews, and they decide, okay, we're going for a job. Let's wear tux. It's going to make it real fancy. We're going to wear tuxes. They show up together for their job interview. Brennan and Dale sitting there interviewing for a job. And it reminds me of Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. They're pulling a Step Brothers, Brennan and Dale move by sitting down and having that's what it is. It's kind of like a job interview in a way, together on CNN. That's what they're doing. How is that going to work out? Is he going to offer her Doritos when they're sitting there? So she can't do a live interview. It has to be she's doing a pre-taped interview with one of the more inoffensive anchors on CNN. And Tim Walz is going to be sitting there with her. Does that sound like a candidate that's confident? They also said Tim Walz is going to be doing any interviews by himself. So take from that what you will. But does that sound like a candidate that is confident? Does it sound like a party that is confident in their candidate? No, it sounds absolutely goofy. Okay, she's going to sit down with Tim Walz. She can't do it by herself. Doesn't that not sound exactly like what they're talking about, Kane? It exactly sounds like that. I first heard this and I thought, wait, what? She can't do it by herself?
I loved Carol Ross' response to this, where it's like when you go on an interview and you bring your parents along with you.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, not sure I'm going to hire this one. And you know what? We shouldn't hire her either.
It's exactly like that. It is entirely exactly like that. I mean, it's, I don't know. So we're going to see how well that, I mean, I think it already happened, but it's tomorrow. It's going to air tomorrow. Or I think it happens today. I think they pre-tape it today, but it's going to air tomorrow. And I guess we'll see how well it goes. But I don't think you're going to get any like clear answers. I think where she struggles, I think he is going to probably step in. And it's also going to take some of the heat off her, because they're going to sit there. And then because Tim Walz is there, obviously you're going to have to ask him. And I think Dana Bash will. I mean, she's a lefty for sure. But I also think that she is somebody who... I don't know if she's like in the Harris camp or not, but she is a lefty. And I don't think that she has any loyalty to Tim Walz. I don't think he's been in this at this level long enough for any of these reporters to have that. Although Democrats are really good about like faking, manufacturing loyalty because, you know, they want to win and power, you know, at all costs, doesn't matter. So attention that he would take from her is going to come by way of Dana Bash saying, well, what about, you know, you misrepresented your service, or, you know, you made the snitch line, but you're telling everyone to quote unquote mind their own damn business, or this or that. That's his. I mean, both of them have insane baggage, but his is also so bad. It's kooky, right? And he's a kooky character. I don't like kooky characters like this. You know what kind of kooky characters I like? I like kooky, audio soundbite one, please. This is what I'm talking about. I like kooky characters like this. Go ahead.
And you have ballot harvesting, but you also have people getting ballots. I mean, in California, you have people getting 7 ballots. If Jesus came down and was the vote counter, I would win California, okay? If we had an honest vote counter, I would win California.
He may not be wrong. I mean, I know that there's a lot of Democrats there. All of the Republicans, from what I understand from my friends who live in California, all of my, this is funny. All of my friends who live in California, they're all Republican, and they all live like literally within blocks of each other. Do you know that, Kane? Like all the friends that we know, all the people we know, they all live in this, like in the same town, right. All right by each other. It is hysterical. They're all like, they're all concentrated right in like Orange County or Simi Valley. That's it. Or some of the independent ones are in, I don't know, where Bigfoot and Weed is. Where's that at?
The Pacific Northwest?
No, in California. It's up by the Bigfoots and the Weeds. Oh. The weed growers and the Bigfoots. Big feet? Bigfoot? How does that work?
Is it Weed, California?
No, I'm only concerned about the pluralization of multiple versions of a Bigfoot. Like if it's more than one Bigfoot, is it Bigfoots, Big Feets, or is it a singular plural Bigfoot? We got to solve this. Anyway, but there's some up there that are...
Is it Bigfoot?
And then they're up there with the weed farms. Or, wait a minute, sidebar, and I'm going to come back to this. I'm going to get back on point real quick. Are there really no Bigfoot? There's not a Bigfoot population up there, and it's just the people that are high and they think they see Bigfoot. Also, that could be that, but either way, they're kind of more independents up there. So long story short, I don't know if that is actually true, although I do think that Jesus, if he came down, he would probably do more than count votes. Just saying, I'm here to count votes for the Lord, which I'm not like pretending to be Jesus, but I'm just saying, like, which among you has cast your lot for God? That's what he'd be doing. But I do think it's kind of interesting. Can we touch on this really quickly? Audio soundbite 3. I have a post up about this. We talked about this yesterday over at Substack. This is RFK Jr. Listen to this.
I'm going to work to get him elected. And you know, I'm working with the campaign. We're working on policy issues together. I've been asked to go onto the transition team. And, you know, to help pick the people who will be running the government. And I'm looking forward to that.
So this is the question that I asked in the piece that I made mention of this yesterday. And then I wrote a piece about this yesterday, too, over at Substack, if you're one of the subscribers. How, you know, there's this Republican habit of rushing to coronate, you know, the newest celebrity who was like maybe on the left is, you know, Reagan Jesus, you know, oh, here's your crown. So he's been right on the COVID vaccines, right? He's been right on the COVID vaccines, but he's been wrong on guns and, you know, due process and climate change and all this other stuff. And I've written about that extensively, which I've linked over on my Substack if you want to go and read it. I don't want to get into it right now. But my point is that he likes Trump and he endorsed Trump's campaign. And that's all well and good because there's this coalition. But that doesn't make him more amenable on climate change, and it doesn't make him more likely to support you owning however many guns that you want to own, right? It just means that he, of Harris and Trump, between the two, he likes Trump, and on that we agree, right? He can compartmentalize this, but some people on the right cannot, and I get it. People are very excited about this, to the point where they're already, this is what I was telling Kane about yesterday, they were already drawing up like Kennedy's potential appointments or how he was going to work with the campaign. So he and Tulsi Gabbard are already now on the transition team. And they're picking people who are going to determine policy. And I'm thinking, okay, determine what policy? So he's a pretty strong believer in the climate change stuff. And he is a pretty strong supporter of like the Green New Deal stuff. Are we talking like that kind of?
I just heard him policy? Say he was going to be part of helping decide who's in charge.
Yeah, well, and he's going to bring his ideological.
I mean, he may, but I mean, he's only one of the spokes in the wheel that are in that decision making, and that's the way I look at it.
But he's in the decision making process.
Yeah,
a guy who wants to jail people who deny that climate change is real.
Yeah, then the other spokes in the wheel will probably not agree with that.
Probably.
I'm assuming they won't.
You are very optimistic about our government, sir. I am not.
So you're going to attribute RFK Jr.'s stance with the other spokes in the wheel that are actually...
No,
so,
I'm attributing his stance to the decisions that he makes.
Yeah.
And I'm attributing his perspective to how he is going to influence the potential next president to hire.
Yeah.
That's what I'm attributing
it to. I don't think his influence would be at a level where everyone else's influence wouldn't matter.
I don't know about that.
I'm pretty sure about that.
You are. See, I guess I'm more American than you because I don't trust my government.
I am
at
half
all.
Mexican, but I am 100% American.
You're white adjacent, sir. White adjacent.
That's right.
No.
And proud.
No, you're Latinx.
Oh, no.
Isn't that how it is?
Do
Did
not.
Did I even say that right?
Don't even. Oh. That's disgusting.
So you make my mom mad by talking about Social Security.
Disgusting.
You can make Kane mad by referring to him as Latinx, which actually sounds, can I just be real, like a cool band name, like you're a one-man band. Anyway, my whole point is that coalitions don't have to agree on everything. And I think partnerships like that are necessary to overcoming Marxism like we see it. But that doesn't mean that different parties exchange members to help each other determine their party's policy. You know, building coalitions doesn't mean that you hand the car keys to people who don't share your views on liberty. There was a listener who I thought made a great point. You know, you want an open tent, but not open borders.
Absolutely.
And that is because anything else is not coalition building. That's policide. So you should read the piece that I have. I got a lot of links up there over at Chapter and Verse. In the meantime, we got Jim Jordan coming up.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So according to Sky News, an Austrian surgeon got in trouble because he allowed his teenage daughter to drill a hole in a patient's skull. The victim first read about the case in the media and only was told by police months later that it was him that the teenage girl was said to have helped operate on. This guy was in a forestry accident. And he was flown by air ambulance to this hospital in southwestern Austria. He had serious head injuries. He needed emergency surgery, but the doctor let the 13-year-old daughter take part. This is not a bring your daughter to work kind of day activity. And it took that long. Somebody blew the whistle on it, and the victim learned about the case in the media. And he just, I mean, can you imagine? That's a shocking thing. That is, I can't, good night. A woman faces charges after climbing into a zoo tiger's enclosure. Why do people keep doing this? Why? So this woman climbed into this tiger enclosure in New Jersey, and she is trespassing for allegedly entering a fenced-off area, taunting and trying to entice one of the zoo's two Bengal tigers. And a second wire fence separated her from the tiger. The tiger tried to bite her, apparently she did the same thing at a bear exhibit. I think she needs to be barred from ever going to the zoo, because do not sit here and euthanize these animals after they were taunted and enticed by this loon. But good night. They said it was against city ordinance, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, they just need to like deny her entry to any place where there's animals. She seems like a nut. Oh boy. No, I don't want to listen. A bald eagle was thought to be injured in Missouri, instead was just too fat to fly. According to wildlife officials, he apparently ate roadkill and apparently ate up a raccoon. An x-ray showed the raccoon paws in his stomach. It's gross. You don't want to see it. I had to see it. But they're making him lose weight so that he can fly again. It's the funniest thing I've ever read. Congressman Jim Jordan next.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it is a really good question. In many ways, this plays directly into this narrative that Republican lawmakers have been spreading that big tech companies censor the viewpoints of conservatives. There's not a ton of evidence of that, but a lot of what, you know, Zuckerberg is saying in this letter sort of does play into that narrative. And you already see Republican lawmakers celebrating this, saying that it's proof that the Biden-Harris administration tried to censor conservative voices and pressure big tech companies.
Who knows better about the inner workings of Meta and Facebook suppression, the rando analyst at CNN or Mark Zuckerberg, who sent a letter to our next guest, Congressman Jim Jordan from Ohio's beautiful 4th District? Congressman, it is so good to see you. You got this letter from the man in question. Yeah. He admitted that all of the stuff that has been said was accurate. And what I thought was interesting, it seemed to indicate that because everyone always blamed the moderators, the fact checkers at Facebook, it really, which they are culpable, but the pressure from the Biden-Harris administration was more intense, and that drove this suppression. What do you make? How do you react to that soundbite?
No. That's exactly what happened. He admits, Mr. Zuckerberg admits in the letter, four key facts. One is he said the Biden-Harris administration pressured him to censor largely conservatives. And there was censorship all over in all our investigations, but largely conservatives. He succumbed to that. They actually did censor. Third, they throttled back the Hunter Biden laptop story, which was critical, I think, to the 2020 presidential race, not that information not getting out like it should have gotten out. And then fourth, he says he's not going to spend any Zucker bucks. He's not going to try to influence and send money to these boards of elections around the country in key precincts, key areas, key cities. He's no longer going to do that. So I thought those were four key facts. And I think his motivation was the fact that we have been doing a year and a half long investigation, Dana. We've deposed 12 different employees at Facebook, from line level people all the way up to Sir Nick Clegg, the number three guy, former deputy prime minister in Great Britain, number three guy at Meta. So we've done that. We weren't going to stop. And I think he said, let's just lay out the facts and get that out there. So he sent us that letter. And of course, it kind of confirmed what we all suspected and saw was going on.
Do you believe him when he said that he wanted to be more neutral or at least not have a role like that in the next election?
I do kind of feel like at least I think Silicon Valley, a number of people are saying, wait a minute, where the left is going and attacking the First Amendment, specifically free speech rights. I think many of them are saying, like, let's not go there. Let's not. And maybe his motivation is simply he just doesn't want the hassle. But you got Elon Musk, who's been tremendous. God bless him. He came forward, his purchase of Twitter and his full-fledged, you know, a full court defense of the First Amendment, I think it's just been so, so helpful. You got others in Silicon Valley saying the same thing. So I think there's somewhat of a shift happening because we see how radical the left is and what they want to do to our, you know, to our fundamental liberties.
Yeah. I've noticed too, and I'm going to come back to this because I know everyone's talking about, you know, well, what are the ramifications of this? What are the penalties? But you mentioned, you know, free speech is under attack. You had the Telegram founder who was arrested, and not because, you know, anybody can, you can't offer secure protections like that to people with that kind of platform without offering them to everyone. And it just makes me wonder, well, anybody can use any medium to scam anyone. I don't know why he would be held more responsible than a telecom company or anybody else that offers any kind of, you know, service like that. But it is, he wouldn't bend the knee. He wouldn't suppress speech in other nations. Interestingly enough, NATO nations cracking down on this stuff. I mean, it does kind of make you wonder, are they starting to see how bad this is getting and that their businesses may not be their own to run anymore? I mean, that's one of the reasons Facebook never, to their credit, never bent a knee to China, and China had to have its own CCP-friendly Facebook version.
Well, I think people are waking up to how big this threat is. There's a reason why RFK Jr. endorsed President Trump last week. He said in his announcement the same thing he said when we had him in as a witness in one of our hearings. He said, when you look at history, he said, the good guys aren't the ones who are advocating censorship. They're not the ones for censorship. And he said the same thing when he endorsed President Trump last week. So remember, RFK Jr. was censored the third day of the Biden-Harris administration. There's an email from the executive office of the presidency. Clark Humphrey sends an email to Twitter, and it says, this is January 23rd, 2021. It says, take down this tweet ASAP. And the tweet had three sentences in it. that Hank Aaron got the vaccine. Hank Aaron passed away after taking the vaccine. He did so as a way to he got the vaccine as a way to encourage Black Americans to get vaccine. Three sentences, all of them true, but the Biden administration was trying to take down that tweet because they didn't like what it conveyed about the vaccine and vaccine hesitancy and all this stuff. So this is how scary it gets. And you add to what they were doing, they were going after their political opponent, for goodness sake. That's not supposed to happen in a country with the First Amendment. That's not supposed to happen in America. So I do think more and more people are saying, wait a minute, we got to stop this. And as I said before, God bless Elon Musk and his purchase of Twitter and what he's doing to defend the First Amendment.
Talking with Congressman Jim Jordan, a lot of people are wondering, well, what are the penalties going to be? Because we had Missouri v. Biden, or it was Murthy v. Missouri. The Supreme Court's not going to, they're not going to weigh in and enforce any kind of penalties for this sort of federal pressure on these tech companies. So what do we do?
Well, remember that case, while it wasn't the outcome you and I wanted, and like we got in the lower court, which said clearly that the government was pressuring big tech and they were censoring conservatives. That case got remanded back. They're going to look at the facts. I still think we got a good chance with that case later on, but obviously wasn't the decision we wanted from the Supreme Court. We just keep doing what we're doing. Remember the disinformation governance board that they tried to form. They got rid of that. GARM, this organization that was pressuring all kinds of companies not to advertise, probably doing it to you. They did it to Fox, Breitbart, Daily Wire, other places, not advertised there. They discontinued operations as a result of the work we were doing and the suit brought by Elon Musk. The head of Group M, the largest advertising agency, was fired after our hearing. So these universities who were setting up these disinformation operations, many of them are saying we're not going to do that any longer. So we feel like we're making real progress in stopping this assault, this attack on the First Amendment. We just got to keep it up.
And it makes me think too, you know, if this is all coming out, and I think Zuckerberg for the most part has been more transparent than most on it. I don't know what to make of that. I don't care if he's motivated by his own advantage or not. At least, you know, we're getting this information. But it kind of makes me wonder, you know, how many other companies is this affecting? And then this is kind of what we're seeing play out in the financial sector as well. This is so widespread. This is just one aspect of it.
Yeah.
What does that mean, though, for November?
This is another reason we felt like this information was good to get out now, because what are they planning for the October surprise?
Exactly.
This go round? Because we know that the Hunter Biden laptop story was October 14th, New York Post. And as Mr. Zuckerberg admits in his letter, they throttled that story back.
I was one of the accounts that got suspended.
Yes. Yes. They had that, you know, that this whole going after the disinformation dozen and all this different, they had these names and people, it was ridiculous. So look, what do they got planned this year? We felt it's important to get this information out there. And it's why we focus so much on these investigations. Now, remember, we've released the Twitter files came out with Elon Musk, but mm-hmm. when we've also done studies and looked at Facebook, we released the Facebook files, the Amazon files, YouTube files. All these big tech companies were doing the same thing. They were all censoring, all throttling back conservative viewpoint. So we continue to highlight that. And we feel like we're making real progress in stopping this attack on free speech.
One of the things I will say, talking with Congressman Jim Jordan, that I appreciate the Republican approach is that you're not using the heavy hand of government to do it. I mean, it's actually appealing to these companies' own financial best interests, because, you know,
great
they're
point.
Watching, you know, Pavel Durov be arrested in France. They're seeing the stuff that's coming at Elon Musk. They're watching the pressure that's on Zuckerberg, and they're thinking, okay, maybe we don't want to be in this business of, you know, trying to mediate with politics here. Maybe we should stay out of it. And it's not, you know, anything that you have to threaten with big government. I mean, they're just reading the writing on the wall.
Yep. Never like RFK Jr. said, the good guys in history aren't the ones who censored.
Exactly.
And we need to keep that in mind. A robust First Amendment, a full First Amendment. And I tell this all. I said this the other day in a speech. Every right we enjoy as Americans under the First Amendment was attacked by government.
Yeah.
I mean, think about during COVID, they told Americans you couldn't go to church on Sunday. In America, I mean, it's crazy.
Right.
You're right. I gave a speech to the New Mexico Republican Party, Dana, in Amarillo, Texas, 2.5 years ago, because they had to go to Texas to get the freedom to assemble because their crazy Democrat governor wouldn't let them do it in their own state where they pay taxes. And of course, your right to petition your governor. You couldn't even go to your Capitol and yell at your member of Congress. You had to do it back home because Nancy Pelosi wouldn't let you in the Capitol. Your house, the people's house. So on and on it goes. But the most important right is the one speak. Your right to speak. Because if you can't speak, you can't practice your faith, share your faith. You don't have a free press. You can't petition your government. And that's the one the left's coming after. And that's why we have to work so hard to protect.
This election should be a reckoning, more than an election, but the reckoning of 24. Last question for you, Congressman. I know that you got the summer recess right now. You're back in action in September. What's the first thing, the most important thing that you're looking to tackle?
Well, the funding of the government takes place. So I think we should attach the SAVE Act, which says non-citizens aren't allowed to vote in our elections.
Johnson supports sure that. Can we get that to the Senate?
I don't know, but we need a push for that to be on the spending bill, the bill that funds the government. So I think that's key. And then we're going to continue to highlight this border situation and this censorship situation in our committee when we get back in September.
And for the we talked about this yesterday, but for the people who missed it, the SAVE Act, that's about making sure that people are, you know, legal citizens that are voting, and it's protecting the integrity of the vote. Actually, this will be the last question. I know that media is already trying to fearmonger about a potential shutdown for October 1st if the SAVE Act's attached to it and this falls apart. I don't think Republicans really have ever been worried about it. I don't think a shutdown has hurt you. I mean, we had the shellacking, as Obama put it, in 2010 after government shutdown, and that worked really well for Republicans. I think that people would stay with you, and I think that they would understand that should that be the case with us.
Yeah, I mean, no one wants a shutdown, but we do want only citizens to vote in our
elections. Exactly, that's pretty important.
Come on, Chuck Schumer, you think it's more important to not guarantee only citizens are voting? You think that's why you want to shut down the government? So if Chuck Schumer wants to do that, that's up to him.
Yeah.
I'm for funding the government, and I'm even willing to fund it at the ridiculous level it's currently funded at, for goodness sake, to make sure we get the bill on there, the bill attached to that funding bill, which says you got to be a citizen to vote in the United States election.
There you go. Congressman Jim Jordan, one of our favorite heavy hitters in Congress. We appreciate it, sir. Thank you for your time, for your fight.
You
safe travels.
Mm-hmm. You bet.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for all your good work.
Of course.
Take care.
Thank you.
Not able to catch the full Dana Show? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. The conclusion of this third hour. And we're actually talking about Murthy v. Missouri. The Missouri v. Biden case as it relates to that whole suppression of free speech by the federal government. And litigating over speech is so incredibly hard, but I'm like, still, you have overwhelming evidence. And you know that there were people who were probably harmed either reputationally or monetarily by what the federal government was doing in classifying this falsely as the laptop story. The October surprise saying, oh, no, they wanted to ward it off, and they used the full force of government to do it, by saying that it was Russian disinformation and having all of these actual intel officials sign their names. They knew they were lying. And in fact, one of them went on record to say so. They knew they were lying and they still signed their name to all of this. I am of the mindset that heads have to roll, maybe literally, and I don't mean maybe, in order for there to be a deterrent established that will, at least with the use of fear, prevent a tyrant from ever considering doing this to a free people again. I'm just saying. And I realize that we give, you know, we have our rule of law. But for something like this, you know, couldn't we look for a little bit of a higher like you're betraying the American people. You're tyrants. I can't only imagine how this would have gone down in the days of the King Street Patriots up there in the pubs in Boston. How would this have gone down? You know, I mean, there was little to which they reacted, which caused them to assemble it was still a lot at the time in the Boston Square. So I'm just saying. They went after cannons out in Lexington and Concord, and they faced off against the militia. I'm just saying, you know, it is such a betrayal of the people. And the left always likes to make the appeal to the civility of society. Well, we can't have deterrence like this. We're a civil society. Well, that's incredibly ironic because a civil society doesn't use the full force of government to go and shut down dissent. That's the antithesis of a civil society. So you don't get to make the determination as to the penalty of being uncivil to a free people by the overbearing use of an expanded government and weaponizing it against innocent free people. You don't get to make that determination after committing the ironic offense that you've committed. This is kind of how I look at it. But they have you noticed they will do that. They appeal to that civility of society. The people who don't practice it. All right, today in stupidity came.
All right, it's Kamala Harris's economic advisor, Bharat Ramamurthy. Now, he's trying to convince you here that unrealized profits should be taxed. Unrealized gains in your stocks and your portfolios, they need that money. Listen to this. Cut 9. Sorry, Juan.
Oh, unrealized gains, taxing unrealized gains just doesn't seem fair in any sense of the word. In the very best sense, if you are taxing unrealized gains, all you're doing is pulling forward the taxes that would be paid later when someone actually sells the stock.
I think that this reaction to unrealized gains is a little funny, given that the majority of people find
this idea funny and the pushback to it funny.
He doesn't understand economics. That's just others to it. He doesn't understand any of this. Folks, that does it for us today. Find us over at Substack, Chapter and Verse, Facebook, YouTube, like, and subscribe. Back with you tomorrow.